this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Fun and embarrassing fact, I used to say meme. And I was very confident in the fact that it was pronounced meme. And then one of our youth came up to me and said, it's meme. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure it's meme. And it turns out it's meme. So I want to share a meme with you that's been going around. And one of our Catalyst kids, I'm the children's pastor, if you don't know, and we have Catalyst kids on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. if you want to bring your kid. But there was a Catalyst kid who had the audacity to share this meme with their mother. And the meme says, a mother asked her family, where are you taking me out to eat for Mother's Day? And the child responded, there's food at home, remember? Whew. So Brian, I want to know what home-cooked meal you are cooking your mother this afternoon since there is so much food at home. Can you believe it? To me, it's so much easier to take mama out to eat. But if you want to cook a home-cooked meal because there's food at home, be my guest. So that's just a little fun for you today, but we're about to get serious, okay? Because we're going to go to the Word of God. And I want to talk to you today about the final word. The final word. Now, I don't know about you, but when my mom said something, that's how it went. What mama says goes. So if you are a parent, especially mothers, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever said the infamous phrase, because I said so? It's one of my favorite replies. If you have a child that is of the age to ask why, then you have most definitely said, because I said so. Because I said so, and that is enough, right? But did you know that God said so, and that is enough? And he gave his final word to us, and I'm going to read that scripture to you right now. If you want to, you can stand to your feet for the reading of the word. And the heading to this chapter in my Bible says, God's final word, his son. Let's read Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance. And through the son, he created the universe. The son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he has cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of God in heaven. You may be seated. In these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. In the Old Testament, how many of you read the Old Testament? It's not easy to read, but I guarantee you the Holy Ghost will show you some things if you read the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God used men and women of God, prophets and judges, to warn the people when they were doing wrong, to remind them to do right, to seek the face of the Lord, to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to God, their creator. We see a world that is wicked. We see a world that is evil, and I believe God is calling people back to him, turning our faces back to him, and he is sending preachers and teachers and friends and peers to tell us, hey, turn from your wicked ways and set your eyes toward Christ like a flint towards the flame. And you see, these people were warned. I feel like John the Baptist, sometimes I just want to shout, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because I know if they repented, they were spared. If they refused, then judgment would come. But for those who feared the Lord and had faith, that's us, praise God, they made it through the fire and got to the other side with a testimony of God's grace and mercy. You see, the world's on fire. But I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the flames aren't going to touch me. The flames aren't going to touch my house, my marriage, my children, my church. In Nehemiah 9:27, it says, but in their time of trouble, they cried to you, and you heard them from heaven, in your great mercy, you sent them liberators who rescued them from their enemies. I didn't know what Bishop was going to preach in the 9 a.m. service, but I love that he preached about how God sent liberators and how Mom influenced men like Moses, Abraham Lincoln, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They were liberators in their time. God always sends and always sent liberators for his people. Now we have the final and ultimate liberator, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the final word. He has the final word, and because he said so, that is enough. Because God said so, that is enough. All that has needed to be done, Jesus has done to liberate us. If the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. Once Jesus miraculously came to earth through a virgin mother and died on the cross and rose again, it was game over for the devil. See, we give way too much leeway to the devil in our lives. But if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you don't watch that TV show in your house, you won't have that problem in your marriage. You have to guard your heart. You have to resist temptation, and the devil will flee from you because there's no place for him, because every place in your home, every place in your heart, every place in your mind is taken up by Jesus Christ. Jesus was, is, and will always be the final word. And because he is the final word, that is enough for me. I don't need any more or any of anything or anyone, because I know Jesus is my everything. We need to learn to be sustained through Christ Jesus. In the Bible, Jesus grew frustrated with the people always needing a new sign, a new wonder, a new revelation, a new miracle. They kept asking for more. Show us a sign. Do another miracle. Give us more, more, more. In Mark 8, 11 through 12, so you know I'm not lying, Jesus got frustrated with that type of attitude. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him, testing him. They demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? Now, I'm gonna give you some clarity on what Jesus was saying there. You see, what they didn't realize, what the Pharisees didn't realize, what they didn't understand was that the revelation was standing right before them. The true miracle was speaking directly to them. The final word had come, and he was standing among them. You see, they believed because they saw, but more blessed are those who have not seen but still believe. That is you who are in this room. You believe in the final word. You believe Jesus has come, and he is who he says he is, and you shall be blessed. Your household shall be blessed because you believe. Then in the same chapter, Jesus had to turn and say something similar to his very own disciples, the very men who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw Jesus, heard Jesus with their own ears. Those same men, Jesus had to say this. You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. Don't you understand yet? He asked. What I want you to know this morning is that Jesus is always enough. When you are hungry, he is the bread of life. When you are thirsty, he is the well that never runs dry. You can drink from him and never thirst again. Realize that Jesus is the final word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Do you not think he can provide? Or do you know he can provide and you're just getting impatient? Do not grow weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap a harvest. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Everything might not be perfect right now. It seldom is. There's always something that arises. If it's not one thing, it's another. That's life, and it happens to us all. But in spite of it all, through it all, you must be able to say, as for me and my house, as for me and my children, we are going to serve the Lord. Jesus has the final say here in this house. Jesus has the final say in my family, in my children, and in this church. Cling to God's promises. Understand who he truly is. He is all you need. He is all your family needs. A house that is built upon the rock is not easily shaken. If you want a stable house, build your house upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ. When you build your home in Jesus, your family is not easily torn apart. And there is a war on family. There is a war on fatherhood. There is a war on motherhood. But as for me and my house, as for me and my children, as for me and my marriage, we are going to serve the Lord. We must know who has the final word in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, and in our children. We must remember the word of the Lord and the power of his might. We have to let Jesus have the final say. And this might make some people mad in here, but even in the Bible, we see the separation between those who were offended by Jesus versus those who believed in Jesus. John 11:45-46, many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Why did they become tattletales? Because they were offended. Did you see what Jesus did? It was a holy day. He shouldn't have done that. They were offended, so they became tattletales. We can be the one in our family who is offended by the word of God, or we can be the one in our family who believes the word of God no matter what. And no matter how hard it gets, again, we must be the ones to make a choice in our homes. We have to start setting our children up for success. We must start setting our children up for success. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I don't have kids. No, maybe not. But you are surrounded by people you can influence. You may have nieces and nephews and kids who look up to you. Co-workers and peers, what are you teaching them about faith and the real need of a Savior in their life through your life? We must start passing our knowledge of the Word of God, our wisdom in the Lord, and our faith to this next generation. We have to start speaking the Word of God out loud in our homes. If it's in your home, you don't have to pray under your breath. You can pray out loud. Let your children hear your prayers. Let your children see you trusting God through the storm. We must be willing to set our children up for success. Because listen, the world is indoctrinating children. No matter what you think about it, no matter how hard you try to look away or try to ignore it, our children are being told and taught that evil is good and good is evil. If you send your child outside of your home in any sort of manner, they're going to be taught something. But when they come home, they better know what the truth is. When they come home, they better find the answer. And the final word is Jesus Christ. What are we doing to stop the lies to our children, in our children? See, I'm the children's pastor, so I see and I hear a lot of the things that the children are dealing with, and they are dealing with adult problems. We have to start setting our children up for success. And listen, your mistakes do not belong to your children. Your failures are not your children's failures. Let me show you what setting your children up for success in the Lord looks like. Bear with me. David was a man of war and had too much blood on his hands to build the temple of the Lord. But that didn't make him bitter or stop him from helping his son build it and get it right. 1 Chronicles 22, 5 through 13, bear with me. David said, "My son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it now." So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Verse 11, "Now my son, may the Lord be with you and give you success as you follow his directions in building the temple of the Lord your God. And may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding that you may obey the law of the Lord your God as you rule over Israel. For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave to Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart." And a few verses later, he says, "Now begin the work and may the Lord be with you." Right there, I see instruction and prayer for my children. May the Lord be with you and give you success as you follow his directions. And may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding that you may obey the law of the Lord. For you will be successful, Tyler and Jaden, if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not lose heart. We must start setting our children up for success and not failure. We must be there for them in the most pivotal and crucial years of their lives. Now, I want to talk to the preteens and teens, and because I was once a preteen and teen, I know how easy it is to zone out when the preacher is preaching. So if you are from 11 to 19, will you wave at me? Okay, I see you. Okay, thank you. You don't have your AirPods in. Thank you. I see you. Okay, I appreciate you. Can I just say thank you to the preteens and teens who fill this altar on this side? Can I say that you encourage me, that you are set apart, that you are exceptional, and God will use you for such a time as this to change your generation? Amen. So I see you, and I thank you. Okay, preteens, teens, do I have your ear just for like a second? And then I know you will zone out again, but in Jesus' name, you'll hear what you need to hear. All right, preteens and teenagers, let me talk to you really quick. If you're here because mom or dad dragged you out of bed to be here, they forced you to be here, you better be thankful. Because what may feel like frustration and annoyance now for forcing you to get up early on a Sunday morning or come on a Saturday night to Catalyst, you're going to soon realize it was because your mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, or uncle loved you so much that they didn't mind you hating them for a moment so that they could teach you the truth of eternity, that they could give you the final word, Jesus Christ. Listen, I was a teenager who would fake sick, get out of coming to church, but look at me now. Look what the Lord has done. So there is hope for your children who fake sick and you still drag them here. Mama and daddy, keep on bringing them. You're doing the right thing. You're setting them up for success. No matter how many times they roll their eyes, no matter how many times they say certain words like, "I hate you," ooh, that stings, but you're doing the right thing by bringing them to the house of God. Proverbs 1:8, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction." Preteens and teenagers, you may not understand clearly now why knowing Jesus is so important because you think you're invincible. But there is going to come a day when you realize you need Jesus and no one and nothing else will do. Remember this day and thank your mom, your dad, the one who brought you to church, because they are setting you up for success. All right, I'm moving on back to the adults. Thank you, young people. Thank you. So thank you. I appreciate you. Men and women, we have to know the word of the Lord so we can share the word of the Lord. We must study to show ourselves approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. Listen, mothers, fathers, matriarchs, patriarchs, aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends. Listen, your faith matters to those around you. God has expanded this idea so much in my life as I read the Bible. Time and time again, we see God rescuing families, households in the Old Testament because of the faith one family member had. Noah's faith rescued his family from the flood. Hebrews 11:7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Noah's faith rescued his family from the flood. Abraham's faith rescued family out of Sodom and Gomorrah before the destruction. Genesis 19:29, so when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham. And he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. And lastly, Rahab's faith protected her household while the walls of Jericho came down. Joshua 6:25, so Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Hebrews 11:31, it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the other people in the city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. What are we doing to rescue and protect those around us? What are we doing as mothers to rescue and protect our children spiritually? What are we doing? Because it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. Now, I'm not saying anyone can ride your coattails into heaven, but what I am saying is we can be the light to everyone who is around us while we are here, and we can make a difference in our family. I believe you can make a difference in your family. I believe you can make a difference at your job. I believe you can make a difference wherever you are because you have the final word, who is Jesus Christ. Where are the matriarchs and patriarchs who know the final word has already been given and his name is Jesus Christ? And because he said so, that is enough. Where are the men and women who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I pray they're here right now in this room. Men and women who understand what I am talking about, hear the call of the Lord on your life. Hear the call of the Lord on your life. Recognize that your faith matters to those around you, especially your children and your children's children. Speak the truth of God's word over yourself and over your family. God's truth is my truth. Far too often we are distracted by what they say and what they say and what they say, but we need to consider what has God said? What has God said? What does God want for me? What does God want for my family? His word is the word I will stand on. I will not stand on the report of news. I'm going to stand on the word of God. His word is what we need. If he said it, I believe it because he said so. That is enough. The Lord said that he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The Lord said that in the last days, our sons and our daughters will prophesy. The Lord said, when I keep my mind stayed on him, he will keep me in perfect peace. The Lord said, his name is a strong tower and the righteous will run to it and be safe. The Lord said he himself goes before us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord said he will instruct us in the way that we should go. The Lord said he will order our steps. The Lord said his grace is sufficient. The Lord said he would renew our strength. The Lord said he will fight for us. The Lord said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord said his love endures forever. The Lord said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the final word. He has the final say. The Lord said, that is enough for me, and that is enough for my family, and that is enough for this church. God is not through with this generation yet. If he was, he would have already came back. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I get very impatient. I'm like, Lord, I'm really tired of this world. Like, I even got my compass out and found where the eastern sky was so I can, my prayers are directed toward the eastern skies. And I'm like, Jesus, when you're ready, I'm ready. When you're ready, I'm ready. But you see that the Lord is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish. So you know what he's giving us? The gift of for that one last soul, for that one last son, for that one last daughter to come home. When he said it was finished, he meant it. All that he set out to do was accomplished on the cross and his resurrection. Forgiveness, it's done. Redemption, done. Salvation, done. Restoration, done. Healing, done. Protection, done. He did it all. He is the final word. He is the final word. He has the final say. That can't be undone. What Jesus did can't be undone. So you can choose this day to follow him or not. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I want salvation in my home for myself and my children, I need the Savior who went to the cross. If I want provision for my family, I need the one who shall supply every one of my needs according to his riches and glory. If I want protection for myself and my family from this insidious world, I need the one who overcame this world. If I want truth, I need to follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. If I want direction for my family, I need the one who can make crooked paths straight. We need the final word in our lives to be Jesus. We have to quit making it about everything else and start focusing on Jesus. And something just that the Spirit keeps on putting on my heart, we care too much about things that don't matter, and we care too little about the things that matter most. So you have to start prioritizing life. Who has the final word in your life, in your home, in your children? Does the doctor have the final say? Do circumstances have the final say? Do trials and tribulations have the final say? Or does God Almighty have the final say in your life, in your home, and in your children? God wants families to serve him for generation to generation to generation to remember the name of the Lord and the power of his might. And it can start with. It can start with you, brother, sister, aunt, mom, dad, uncle, coworker, and it starts in our home, with us. If we never read the Bible and speak it in our homes, if we never make reading the Bible a priority, what makes you think that our children will? If we never put God first in the family unit, what makes us think our children will? We need to rise up as men and women and start leading the Holy Ghost and start allowing the Holy Spirit to order our steps. If you'll stand to your feet. I hope they don't mind me using them as an example. And I'm so blessed that I get to serve in Catalyst Kids with two of them, Sister Linda and Sister Monique. But I want to use the Bermea family as the example of what the Lord wants to do in. Now, Pastor Brandon was preaching a message about right here, Lord. And it was a very individual and personal message. And he had people in the altar say, right here, Lord. And as I looked in the altar, I saw the Bermea family. Father, mother, daughters, sons-in-law, and grandchildren. And I saw them right here in this altar. And you want to know what I saw? I saw a patriarch stand behind his family with arms wide open, stretching out from left to right to cover them in prayer. And when Pastor Brandon said, say right here, Lord, right here, Lord. Brother Bermea said, right here, Lord, not to himself, but to his family. Right here, Lord. Right here, Lord, my family, my house. But you want to know something else? Just a few feet in front of him was a grandmother, the matriarch, on her knees in prayer with her two granddaughters on either side of her praying with her. That's what God wants for the family. That's what God wants for your family. To be a family that is united in Jesus Christ. To be a family that is restored in Jesus Christ. And if you weren't the mother or father you were supposed to be, I believe God can restore the years. I believe God can make you the mom and dad that you need to be right here, right now. It starts with you. So I ask, if this message was for you in any sort of way, would you come to this altar? I'd like to pray and agree with you. If you're saying,